I'm Raymond Campbell, bringing you a meditation on Psalm 103 for today. Psalm 103 was written by David, and next to Psalm 23, which he also wrote, this psalm is the most familiar one. It is one of the greatest psalms of praise and thanksgiving. Now, a psalm is a sacred or solemn song or hymn. Verse 1 reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." This is an expression of worship from the heart and no mere lip service. The phrase, "Bless the Lord," is found 6 times in this psalm, twice in the beginning and 4 times at the end. To bless means to request of God a bestowal of divine favor, or to bestow good of any kind upon one, or to extol as holy and glorify. The term "bless" here means that Jehovah, God, is worthy to be praised by us in the highest style of adoration. The psalmist strikes the keynote by stirring up and exhorting his inmost self to magnify the Lord. In verse 2, we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It's so easy to forget the Lord's benefits. In retrospect, we need to look back and remember and praise the Lord for his goodness to us. We should remember also his benefits of discipline and chastening that have worked for our good through exercise about them. In verse 3, David says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." This is the greatest of divine benefits, the forgiveness of sins, the removal of guilt and defilement of sin. It is first in the order of our spiritual experiences. Until this is known, all other blessings are unknown. In Acts 13, verses 38 to 39, we hear that, "Through this man," that is Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe are justified from all things." And 1 John 1, 9 assures us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, the blessedness of sins forgiven by Jehovah God. Is this blessedness yours, radio friend? And then the psalmist adds, "Who healeth all thy diseases." There are diseases of the soul and spirit as well as of the body. David addressed his soul as he said, "O my soul." So he is referring principally to diseases of the soul, such as emotional disorders and depressions and mental troubles and so forth. The heart of mankind is involved. The Lord gives peace of heart and mind as we trust in him and heals troubled souls. He can also heal diseases of the body and bless means of medicine, therapy used in answer to the prayers of faith. But we also need to realize it is not always his wise and perfect will to remove afflictions from us. This the Apostle Paul experienced and recorded in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 to 10. The Lord Jesus prayed in agony 3 times, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now in verse 4, we read, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." The Lord Jesus is the Redeemer by purchase and by power. He bought us by his blood and sets the deliverer free, that is the believer, free from sin's bondage. He frees us from spiritual and external death. We will worship him in heaven as the worthy one who was slain and redeemed us to God by his blood. That's what Revelation 5:9 says. What a price he paid. Then, as one has well written, the Lord crowns believers as kings and priests with, quote, a crown studded with gems of grace, lined with velvet of loving kindness, and decked with jewels of mercy, so C.H. Spurgeon wrote. On verse 5, David says, "The Lord satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's." The 107th Psalm states, quote, "He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." verse 9. Soul satisfaction is found only in Jesus Christ, and this calls for soul praise. Then he speaks about his youth is renewed like the eagle's. The eagle is a wonderful bird. It is the strongest, most fearless, majestic, and highest flying of all birds. It soars in a straight line to great heights and can look at the sun without being blinded. The eagle is able to fly above the storm, and in molting it looks young again. So the believer, satisfied with the good things of the Lord, has his youth renewed as the eagle. Isaiah 30, verse 31, promises that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now we come to the second section of this psalm in verses 1 to 5. Here we have personal summons to praise for personal mercies received. Now, in the second section of verses 6 through 19, the attributes of Jehovah as displayed in his dealings with his people are magnified. Verse 6 says, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." This David could affirm from experience, and all tried believers also can. On verse 7, the psalmist continues with saying, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." There's a difference between God's ways and his acts. Psalm 77:13 says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." And verse 19 states, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters." In the sanctuary of God's presence, in communion with him, we learn something of God's untraceable ways of wisdom, mercy, and love, as Moses did. God's acts are what he does and are manifest, which Israel witnessed. In verse 8 through 11, David declares, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, and that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." He then looks up to the heavens and says, "As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him." His mercy is truly immeasurable. Yes, the Lord has not and will not deal with the sinner according to what he deserves, but according to his great mercy and grace. This everyone experiences who comes to him with the prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This great mercy is for those that fear him in reverence and humility. His mercy pardons our sins, and his grace bestows favors. In verse 12, David goes on to say, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." God not only forgives the repentant sinner, he removes our sins out of sight and puts them as far away as the east is from the west, which never meet. One has well written, quote, "East is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet." So the sins of the believer in Jesus will never meet us again. Now in verses 13 to 16, the psalmist goes on and says, "As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." To those that truly reverence the Lord, he is as a compassionate father that pities his needy children. He knows our frailty and infirmities, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God made the first man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground, and then breathed into that body of earth the breath of life, and he became a living soul. This is what the Bible tells us in Genesis 2, verse 7. Then when Adam and Eve sinned, they were told, quote, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return," unquote. God ever remembers what we are, but man in the pride of his heart forgets what he is, and that he has a body that flourishes as the grass and flower of the field and then disintegrates into dust. In verses 17 to 19, in contrast to the brevity of man's days, David now says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." One has commented, quote, "How wonderful that his mercy should link our frailty with his eternity and make us everlasting too." That's what C.H. Spurgeon wrote. Note that God's righteousness is unto children's children. He's not only merciful to parents, but unto their children and grandchildren. However, the stipulation is that the blessing is to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments. As parents must obey the gospel, so the children and grandchildren must also follow in the way of God's grace and mercies in Jesus Christ. Then David concludes this section by saying, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Now in the concluding section of verses 20 to 22, we see the writer calling upon the angels and all the heavenly hosts to bless the Lord. They are spoken of as those that excel in strength, that do his commandments and his pleasure, and are his ministers. The last words are, "Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Thus David closes his psalm with the same keynote he began with, of blessing Jehovah God. What a psalm of blessing this is! May we too follow David's example and bless the Lord with all our heart and soul.